Welcome to the Birth Lounge Podcast, an empowering space for expecting and new parents to hear candid conversations with experts, support your mental health, and learn the tips and tricks that thousands of parents have used to craft their ideal birth. We will answer all of your questions, the scary ones and the weird ones, to help calm your fears and feel confident going into your birth. I'm going to help you redefine what birth and motherhood looks like and how to embrace your journey. I've intentionally crafted an amazing list of experts to help you navigate pregnancy, explore your birth options, and plan for postpartum so it can be a time of soaking in your tiny human. We're going to go there on all the hard topics so that you can dive into finding your confidence and freeing yourself from fears around childbirth. With almost 10 years of experience in family education and a master's degree in human development and family studies, I created this podcast as a way to share information so parents can make educated and informed decisions about their care during pregnancy and childbirth. This is a birth community driven by evidence-based information and research in hopes to help you explore your options, understand your rights, and know what choices you have along the way. I'm your host, Hee Hee. Now let's get to the good stuff. Hey guys, there's another chance for us to hang out on April 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I am going to host a live call that is going to be talking about how you can reduce your risk of C-section and reduce your risk of tearing in labor. I'm going to be sharing the top three reasons for cesareans in the U.S., how you can find out about your hospital and your provider's stats when it comes to their C-section rate and induction rate, the benefits of laboring at home, plus all of the information that you need to know in order to advocate for yourself in labor. Also, don't forget, I'm going to be talking about decreasing your risk for tearing. So we are going to be talking about the most effective pushing positions and the importance of perineal massage. And at the end of the call, I will stick around for a Q&A to answer all of your questions. So be sure to grab the link for that. We'll meet on Zoom. You can head to the show notes to save your seat. Bye. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Birth Lounge Podcast. I know you just heard that little insert for my live class on April 9th. I really do hope that you come. It's jam-packed. It's totally free. It's going to be about an hour of your time. Sometimes the Q&A runs a little long, but you'll be able to get a replay. So if you need to dip out, you can. It's honest to goodness, just good information to help you have a better birth. And it's not going to try and influence you one way or the other. It's literally going to say, like, here's what causes C-sections. Here are the things that we know leads to that. And here's how you can avoid it for yourself. And I want to share that information with you now so that you can have these conversations with your provider. And in the call, we're going to learn a little bit about how to advocate for yourself, what words to use, what kind of conversations you want to have. So it's going to be a good time. Every time we hang out with people live in a live call, it is so much fun. People have the best questions. So seriously, it's a heartfelt invite. I really do hope to see you there. All right, you guys, did you know that April is C-section awareness month? Yes, it is. I love the month of April. It's also my birth month. I'm an Aries, 3-wing 2 for all my Enneagram lovers out there. So many things are making sense in your head now that you know I'm an Aries, right? All right, C-section awareness month. I wanted to spend the next few weeks giving you all of the information and the education that you need to successfully navigate the hospital system to achieve a vaginal birth if that is your goal. So over the next few weeks, 2 times a week, as normal, I'm going to be coming to you with advice and tips and tricks and professionals and education, all evidence-based, obviously, always linked for you, obviously, to help you understand what your rights are, what your options are, get the true transparent conversation that I think a lot of us wish our doctors and our OBs and our midwives in the hospital would have with us, but they just don't for whatever reason. Maybe it's not their style. Maybe they don't have time. Maybe, who knows? It doesn't even matter. The point is, in this month, I'm going to be bringing you all the information and the people to help you have the birth that you want and desire. And I know that you can do it. So buckle up. April is filled with so many things. Grab your notebooks. You're going to want to be taking notes. We're going to give you questions to take back to your doctor so that you can truly craft your ideal birth. I cannot wait to dive into all of this. You guys, today's episode was inspired by something that I saw on social media, and I saw an influencer do, like, Would You Rather Wednesday, and apparently it's like a thing, and yeah, it's a thing that she does every Wednesday, and I thought, okay, how fun would it be to do a Would You Rather episode of the podcast, and boy, you guys did not disappoint. It's so funny. So I asked my team to organize the questions and pick kind of the best ones. And so I have a list here of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And you guys, the last one is so funny. And I honestly can't figure out if it came from one of you guys or if it was thrown in by my team. But it is honestly hilarious. Like, what? I'm so excited to answer that. And also, all in good fun. Everything's in good fun. And just so you know, this is a what would you rather, like, for me as a human personally. This is, you know, I mean, I tend personally to lean very evidence-based, so a lot of these are going to be evidence-based, but some of them might be something that you wouldn't choose for yourself or something you heard your doctor say maybe they wouldn't recommend, and that's okay. These are my opinions. This is what I would do as me, as he, okay? This is not me giving you evidence-based information. This is a fun episode, not an educational one, all right? This is, I think they like to say, this episode is solely for entertainment purposes. So there you go. There's your little disclaimer. All right, let's dive in, you guys, because these are super fun. All right, the concept is I put up a question box in my social media pages and said I am going to do a Would You Rather episode. Please submit two things that you would like to hear me have to kind of choose between. So the question is, would you rather, and then I insert all the things that you guys had submitted. I know we got a ton of submissions, so if one of these is not yours, I'm sorry. They were all really good. Apparently, my team had a great time kind of going through them, and they were funny. Yeah, here are the top ones. Okay, so first off, would you rather an induction or a C-section? Starting off with a heavy hitter. Okay. All right, this could get deep. Here's where I'm at. If I am facing the choice, I'm heavily pregnant, and I'm facing the choice for an induction or a C-section, I have a few questions. First off, where am I in my pregnancy? You know, am I 35 weeks? Am I 39 weeks? Am I 42 weeks? Am I 43 weeks? What is my cervix doing? Is my body kind of close to going into labor on its own? Is it possible that with a little bit of induction medication or maybe just one method instead of a couple paired together, my body might be able to kind of jumpstart labor on its own? My other question, I think, would be, would there be any benefit to me having a C-section now versus trying to go into labor? I think I kind of lean more towards what would you rather? I would rather have an induction. Now, here's one thing I've always said, and this is a little fun thing about me, and I've said this for as long as I have been a doula, and it has to do with like failure to progress and failed inductions. And I have always said that if I need a medical induction and we try to induce and my body is either not receptive or is resisting it and or my baby does not tolerate it well, I will choose to have a gentle non-emergency C-section without pushing that induction further, rather than continuing to just pedal to the metal, let's see if we can make it happen, because I've just seen that go sideways so many times. What I will say too, though, and I talked about this tonight in our childbirth ed class. So if you are local to the Boston area or the Massachusetts area, we've got some people who are driving down from New Hampshire. How sweet. We love that. We love when people come to our childbirth ed class because you know you're going to get quality education. So it's worth the drive. And I promise you, it is totally worth it. It's 2 hours of like nothing but good fun, deep data, and science-driven childbirth education. Okay, anywho, I got sidetracked. But if you are having a medically necessary induction, meaning there's a medical reason to, a lot of times those inductions actually do go pretty well because your body is kind of grateful for the support, is kind of what our philosophy about it. It's almost as if your body was asking for the support, or it knows it needs the support. It kind of welcomes the relief of labor and says like, yes, we also agree that this baby would be better on the outside, or this mom would be better if her baby were on the outside. So yeah, I think that wraps up my thoughts on induction versus C-section. What would you rather? I would rather an induction. It would be really hard for me to choose that if it was elective. It would be really hard for me to choose that if my cervix was not receptive. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up the Bishop score. It's something I teach about in the Birth Lounge as well. And you need to know like the scores and what constitutes the scores. We also have a past podcast episode about it as well. So just scroll on back. It's kind of a ways back there, but scroll on back and you'll find that. And I break down everything, what kind of makes up your Bishop score, what score you're trying to get to, what does each score mean, and then how to know how to use your score to then help you make decisions about how to go forward with your induction, or if you're going to have an induction. So I guess for me, that's what I'm saying. If I get a Bishop score and my Bishop score is super low and it tells me that my cervix is not likely to be receptive to the induction medications, I will probably turn down that induction, right? Unless it's medically necessary. And then you're stuck in this decision of, okay, well, what do I do? In our experience, meaning my team's Tranquility by Hee-Hee's in the Birth Lounge, when you need a medical induction, we typically see those go smoother because, again, I think your body kind of knows. All right, question number two. Would you rather induction via castor oil or induction via Foley balloon and Pitocin? Woof. All right. I'm weighing my pros and my cons. I've seen castor oil do beautiful, wonderful, amazing things. I have also seen it make people shit their brains out for literally days and days and days. It also comes with that increased risk of meconium. And I don't want to stress baby out, obviously. I mean, you don't either. I know nobody does. I wasn't trying to say, like, I don't want that. Nobody wants to stress your baby out, right? And so that always just makes me hesitant a little bit. I think for me, it would come down to where am I birthing? If I am able to have a home birth, castor oil would kind of be my only option. Like a Foley balloon and Pitocin would not be an option with a home birth midwife. If I was birthing in the hospital, I don't know that I would do castor oil, although I'm hesitant to say I wouldn't because I have seen it do such good things. I wonder too if maybe doing it incrementally, like in super small doses, almost like micro dosing castor oil would be better. I don't know. It really is the pooping that makes me be like, oof, woof. And then obviously the meconium is, you know, we want to avoid that. But In terms of choosing between them, I think the place in which I'm birthing, where I'm birthing, would matter a lot. Right now, as of who I am today and the recording of this podcast, I plan to have a home birth. I am not pregnant, so I don't know what pregnancy holds for me. But if I get to have a low risk birth and pregnancy and labor, I hope to do that at home. So I guess if I had to choose, would you rather, it would have to be castor oil, because that in my ideal situation would be the only option that would be available to me. Although this wasn't part of your question, and I know it's not, but you know, I can't pass up a moment to geek out and tell you about other things. Don't miss the episode about four induction methods that nobody has likely told you. You can find that in episode 217 about the data behind other at-home methods. Something like a melatonin evening primrose oil mixture might be a good option for you to explore and talk to your provider about. Again, I know that wasn't part of the question, but I just wanted to throw that in there. Okay, would you rather have five extra students in your birth room or deal with a pushy provider? Oh, so easy. Pushy provider all day. You want to know why? I am 100% confident in myself in being able to speak up. I don't think that I would love having five extra students in there. I also wouldn't have a problem kicking them out, but if it had to be like they had to stay, or you had to have a pushy provider throughout your entire labor, I'm choosing the pushy provider all day and all night, baby. Yes. Because they come in and say, you know, it's been 2 hours, I want a cervical exam, and I say, no, thanks. And they say, okay, well, it's hospital policy, so you can't really say no. And I say, okay, I hear the hospital policy. Thank you very much. I know that I'm allowed to say no. And for me, right now, it's a no. And actually, it's 10:30 at night, and so I'm going to try and rest. Feel free. Please just know I don't want any cervical exams until 6 a.m. So if you need to chart that throughout the night, feel free to note that I just declined them all throughout the night until 6 a.m. in the morning. But I will call you guys for sure if I, you know, things change, if my water breaks, or if I start feeling contractions that I can't handle, or, you know, change my mind about the epidural, or I get the urge to push, whatever it might be. I'll give you guys a heads up. But I would really love to sleep. That's my goal. That's literally so casual, so kind, so respectful. You're just sharing with your provider what your goals are, right? Now, they might be pushy. Well, we don't really allow that. Okay, I know this is not what you're used to, but I also understand that it is within my rights, and I am a low-risk labor. I'm comfortable with the risk that come along with this decision. And again, I want to reassure you, I will call you if anything changes. I'm not trying to hide things from you. I'm simply trying to get some sleep, some rest, because I know that will help progress my labor, and that's what we're all here for, is to have a baby, right? Like, let them know, hey, we're all on the same team. I'm not trying to like trick you or kick you out of my birth, or like keep you in the dark or keep secrets. We're not in here whispering. I'm literally trying to get some shut eye in here. Because guess what, buddy? I got a couple of hours left that I can do that. And then for the rest of my life, I got children. Children running around all over the place. And once they're grown, they come and scurry back around, which we love. We love that. I actually cannot wait to have adult children. I'm excited for a lot of the stages, actually. I'm literally so excited for the newborn stage. Like, I'm literally so excited. It's gonna be my favorite. I'm gonna be addicted. I'm gonna be the person that's trying to munch on their baby. Cannot wait. Toddlers are fun, and it's gonna test me in terms of like triggers that I didn't know I had, and a little bit of reparenting myself. But I'm very, very excited for it. Preteens are cool, don't mind them. Teenagers, on the other hand, scare the absolute shit out of me. And so I am in the business for friends with teenagers, because I need to know what you're doing, what works, what doesn't work, what is life as a teenager like out there. I'm so scared. Teenagers online are just like so scary, and so I can't imagine like being the mom of one of them. So, which of course, in, you know, babies born now, what will the times be in 15, 16, 17 years? Who knows? But anyway, yeah, that's that. I'm excited for all the stages. Okay, I've sidetracked yet again, you guys. I'm sorry. Back at it. Back to the questions. Here we go. Would you rather have a birth with no pain medication or no birth support? Oh my God. Those sound barbaric, both of them. So I'm naturally inclined to say like no pain meds, like obviously that is kind of easy for me. I think my goal is unmedicated anyway. Although what pops into my head says no pain medication ever at all in a C-section. You about to cut into my belly? No medication, no nothing. The hesitation. I don't know. But then to think about having your baby with no birth support, are you kidding me? And then I literally cry for everyone who had a baby during the pandemic who were forced to have their baby alone. Ugh. Oh my God, so sad. Anyway, that just took a super sad turn. For this one, I'm choosing no pain medication. Hopefully, there's a little asterisk that goes with that that says, you know, excluding C-section. And I would be allowed to have some pain medication for C-section. But if that asterisk doesn't exist and it literally is no birth support from start to finish at all, or no pain medication from start to finish at all, regardless of the method of delivery, I still think I'm choosing no pain meds. Because I figure, you know, there are people who your epidurals don't work when you have a C-section and they feel it all. And I figured, you know, you either pass out from the pain or you die. I don't know. Anywho, I'm taking my chances with the no pain medication. Okay, number five, would you rather have a really, really fast labor or a labor that stretches for days? Okay, I am choosing the precipitous labor, so the really fast labor, over the really long labor. The reason being is I know myself. And I do better in high-intensity situations than I do in situations that require me to have super long-term strength and stamina. It's just a personality trait. It's just who I am. I will always choose a big dose of temporary chaos rather than sustained stamina and like trying and efforts, right? I would much rather go ahead and get it over with, be crazy, let's be so intense, we're golden on the other side, rather than like, let's chip away at this slowly. And I don't even know. See, I don't see any benefit to it. Like, learn who we are along the way. I'll learn who I am in therapy after that chaos, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I mean, am I kidding? Kind of, but also kind of not. All right. On a real note, precipitous all the way for me, because I have seen precipitous labors. I mean, we've had babies at home. We've had literal bathroom babies. We have had babies in the kitchen as we're walking out the door to get into the car. We have had babies on the bay of the ER. As soon as we pull into the ER, we open the door and boom, there's a head in between the legs. There's a head. Move the wheelchair, sir. We are not getting in that thing. Nope. Nope. And you're a nurse from the ER? Oh, I'm so sorry you ran out here. Hurry. You're on duty. Come, right here. Yep, you. Sorry, you don't work in L&D. Let's get over here. Come. So, precipitous labors happen. I feel very prepared for them. I think because I have seen a number of them, it's just part of the job. I also feel very prepared for them because I teach this, right? If you are pregnant and you don't live literally across the street from your hospital, you need to be prepared for what if you have a labor that is much shorter than you anticipated. And it can happen if you live even 15 or 20 minutes from the hospital. Actually, a lot of our people who have had babies in their bathroom, in their tubs, on their toilets, in their kitchen, in their yards, trying to walk to the car, all lived close to the hospital. And that's part of it is that you think like, oh, we're so close. We've got plenty of time, or things just ramp up so fast that you're like, wow, this can't possibly be active labor. This can't possibly be transition, but it is just a few hours after you start labor. Prodromal labor is the opposite. It's a labor that, you know, kind of lags on and on and on, and it can be days, and sometimes in some rare cases, you might be in prodromal labor for a couple of weeks. And it's, you know, it can be really hard. And a lot of people will say, like, I'm really miserable. And you can be doing all the things, and sometimes it resolves it, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes your body just needs that time and that space. But for me, I would rather the chaos and the intensity and the unexpected shock that comes with a precipitous delivery and the risk that comes along with precipitous delivery over the cons of a prodromal labor. Plus, I just don't prefer to do something that is so strenuous and requires so much stamina for so many days. I would rather that quick burst of chaos. Next we have, would you rather give up mobility or pain relief? You can only choose one. I love the, you can only choose one. Okay. Would you rather, you can literally only choose one. Would you rather give up mobility or pain relief? Well, I think it kind of goes back to the one that was talking about pain relief or no birth support. Does that mean throughout the entire thing? And also when you think about it, you kind of are already doing that in the birth world that we know or the birth culture that we have here in the U.S. If you choose an epidural, you are giving up your mobility in order to have pain relief. For me, mobility equals pain relief. And so I am more inclined to give up that pain relief for the duration of the labor. For me, mobility means not only do I have pain relief in positional changes, in different body movements. If I have a partner, hopefully they can give me some pain relief. But if that's not allowed in this question, then there's no asterisk in this one either. Then again, just bodily changes and movements and positional changes and different things I can do with my hands, like the basketball dumps or the tuck and tilts from spinning babies, is something that you can do to yourself. I think giving up mobility not only increases your pain level, but it also is almost a surefire way to get yourself a C-section, which, don't forget about my free class happening on April 9th. And if you're listening to this after April 9th, there will be a replay. So you can head to any of our socials, any of our social media channels, or you can email me at tranquilitybyhehe@gmail.com. And I can send you a replay of that class. Absolutely no problem. But if you're listening to this before April 9th, come hang out with me. I would love to hang out with you. There's going to be a fun Q&A. And like I say, it's going to be good information. All right. The last question. Oh my God, this is the really funny one. Okay. I want to know who wrote this, you guys. You guys are wild. All right. This one says, would you rather have your baby with Dr. Fran or Dr. Shannon Clark? Now, these are two OBs who on the internet have, like, tried to, like, I don't know, bully and ridicule me. They've really tried to paint me in a light where I don't know what I'm talking about, but when you kind of unravel their videos, you can see that they're only half the story. So it's kind of funny. They have in the past really tried to eat my lunch online, and it is comical and humorous, and I think it's hilarious when OBGYNs bully other people because it's kind of like, you know, OBGYNs are the bullies, but then when you say like, hey, you're bullying people, they're like, no, I'm not. And then they do things and bully people and they present it in a way of like, but I'm educating other people. Like, no, you're not. You're bullying someone. I educate people on my platforms and I don't bully people. I don't stitch people that paint the person I'm stitching in a negative light. I'm always sharing empowering stitch stories. So no, you're not. You're ridiculing people. You're bullying people. I'm a tough cookie, so I'm okay with it. I can take it pretty fine. I'm pretty confident in who I am. I know exactly what I'm sharing. I know exactly the product that I have in the birth lounge. I know exactly the information I am sharing with people. And I know exactly the change that it is making in so many people's birth stories. So for me, you know, pick away, bully away if you'd like. It doesn't really faze me that much. Of course, my feelings get hurt. I don't want you to think I'm like some superhuman. My feelings can easily get hurt. But for them, I think those two in particular, I think I'm really, I've been able to kind of find the comedy in it because they just put so much effort into stitching my videos and trying to paint me in a light when it's like, okay, that's not all what the video was about, or yes, but you're coming at it from a very biased perspective and I was sharing something more neutral, and since that goes against what you were saying, you don't like it, but just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong. Anyway, yada yada. The question is, would you rather have Dr. Fran or Dr. Shannon Clark as your OB? And you know what? I would rather literally birth in a swamp filled with alligators. I couldn't move very much. I didn't have very much space to roam. And the only people there to support me were the seals. I don't know, you guys. I am not birthing with those people. I'd rather free birth. I really would. And honestly, I think that that really highlights, we're laughing now and this is like funny, haha, but I think deeper than this, it highlights the problem that if someone feels backed into a corner, like they only have two really terrible options to help them have a birth and they can see the writing on the wall that those people are not aligned with them and they're not going to be the best support, it forces people to go outside of the system. And sometimes access is not there. And so, and this is not to start any sort of war conversation around free birth. I've been very clear on my stance for free birth. If you choose that, I support that. I will tell you that the free birth parents I know, and I know a large number of them, they're all so educated. And you know why? Because they know that they are responsible. They know that if shit hits the fan, there is nobody there to pick it up. It is just them. And so they are going to know everything there is to know about everything before they free birth their baby. That is my experience, at least. But the point of this is to say, underneath all this ha-ha funny stuff is a system that does coerce and manipulate women in labor. And if you feel like you're backed into a corner, I want you to know that you have options. I'm always happy to answer your questions and talk to you about your options. I have free ways to learn from me. I have free discovery calls where you can ask questions. I have paid consults where we can really dive into your story, craft your birth, debrief a past birth, talk about a plan of how do you leave one provider and find a better provider for you. How do you make a birth plan that is evidence-based but also meets your preferences and makes you feel like you're an active participant, like you're the one that is making the decisions in your birth? That is my goal for you. So I hope that you have enjoyed this episode of the Birth Lounge Podcast. This Would You Rather business is kind of funny, and I think that we'll do it again. So be on the lookout. If you don't follow me on socials, I'm at Tranquility by Hehe on everything, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Also on Instagram, if you are interested in learning more about the Birth Lounge membership, you can find that at the.birth.lounge on Instagram. And that's the only social platform that the Birth Lounge is on. We have a free Facebook group. It's also the Birth Lounge. So you can join that too. Otherwise, I hope I get to see you on April 8th, and no doubt I'll see you in the next episode. So hang tight until then. Bye! Let me ask you something. Have you ever had anxiety about the conversations that are coming up with your provider in your prenatals? Or do you ever leave your appointments and think about all the things that you wish you had said while you're driving home, like kind of after the fact? Maybe you know what you want in labor, but you don't really know how to actually say it to your provider to communicate your goals or your wishes. Or maybe you keep running into the situation where people are saying, well, it's hospital policy, and you don't know how to kind of get out of that situation, but you know you don't have to follow that. There are no have-tos in birth, right? You are free to do whatever you want. I want to make sure that you not only have the data and the science to back up the choices that you're making so that you are making decisions that feel aligned with you, but I also want you to have the words to communicate that with your provider. And so I've put together a PDF guide that has a ton of birth scripts in there, and I'm going to take you through different conversations so that you can see how you can navigate these with your provider depending on your goals and your preferences during your labor. So you can download that at thebirthlounge.com/scripts-4-advocacy. You're going to find the most common conversations that people bring to me to get information and data on, and phrases to help them stay in control of that conversation. So things like big baby, being induced, birthing positions, Pitocin use, prenatal decision, and so many other conversations that you need to know when you are going into your prenatal appointments with your provider so that you can continue to have this collaborative decision-making conversation throughout your pregnancy so that when you're in labor, everybody's already on the same page. People know what to expect. We have a plan, and this is what we're going to do. So download that at thebirthlounge.com/scripts-4-advocacy with hyphens in between scripts for advocacy, and bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I truly do value this community, and I love hanging out with you. If you found today's episode helpful, share it with a friend. Share it with someone who might also find this information helpful. I'd love to hear what you have to say and read your sweet words on iTunes. You can leave us a review, and this helps get this information into the hands of parents who might also benefit from hearing it. If you're interested in joining the Birth Lounge, you can go to thebirthlounge.com. Our blog is linked there. You can find all sorts of free information as well as how to get your access to the Birth Lounge. You can always hang out with me on Instagram as well, @TranquilityByHeHe. Until then, stay educated, stay supported, stay confident.